welcome to Bleed Geek episode number 24. I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Patrick McGivern.
And I'm Randy Orvis.
That's, Pat's not really here. That was the trick. It was Randy. Fooled you good.
I got you guys.
Yeah, Pat is not with us this evening.
Again. He's moving.
He already moved.
He's unpacking.
As normal, you'll be discussing the tech news of this week and any other geeky items. Today is, I believe, November the 3rd.
Correcto.
And if you're listening live, which, yeah, you know that it is Thursday night, roughly 8. What time is it, actually?
8:05.
That's not bad.
P.M. Central.
So, 8:05.
Yeah, that's better than last week.
Yeah, last week was at 15.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, we're getting closer and closer.
We're setting the bar higher.
Otherwise, you can always find us on iTunes, which is probably where you found us now if you aren't listening live, either that or on our site at bleedgeek.com. And yeah, you can always check out whatever's happening there, because who knows what could be happening.
It's true.
Check out every day. I mean, we have our daily geek report going now, where we have a little tidbits of the day every day, roughly between 5 and 8.
I usually try to have them up by
6:30.
Seven for sure.
Yeah.
Seven for sure. Tonight
we have lives, let's be honest. But we do our best. And we've been putting more content up, so.
Hey, it's
content. Been getting better.
And it's Monday through Friday. We got a Monday through Friday gig going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a regular job. Check it out. So, yeah.
Should we just kick it off?
Let's kick it off.
Yeah. So, in a nutshell, it was a really quiet week for tech.
It's quiet.
Trying to think what I even put down that we should talk about.
The first thing you have is Nest.
Yeah, I was trying to forget.
iPod Father.
Yeah.
Nest Learning
Thermometer. This is something guy from work, Todd, talked about him before.
Showed you?
Hey, Todd. He sent me this link.
It's crazy, right?
It's extremely crazy. So it looks like it's about the size. So it's called the Nest, and it's a learning thermostat. It's about the size of like a hockey puck, and then you put it in the room, and it'll learn like when you're home, when you're gone, what temperature you like. So then, like, its learning is, so if you like it when you're home, you know, 75 degrees, it knows when you leave and about what time you get home. So before you get home, it'll auto turn the thermostat up to 75 degrees, so it's 75 when you get home. And then, like, when you go to bed, if you like it cooler and you turn it down to, say, 65, it'll recognize that you're doing that at night, and it'll auto turn that down before you go to bed.
I wonder how long it takes to learn.
Yeah, it doesn't. That's what I was wondering. But I'm guessing it starts, I think it probably does an average of its lifespan, I guess, you know. So if it's 3 days old, it goes,
I understand these three days. Yeah. But I mean, at what point do you actually have to stop setting it? I mean, and for this to work, do you have to have a routine then?
No, because it also detects ambient light.
So it would have to be in the main room then, or do you have one in every room or what?
You can have one in every room. You can have just a single one. But yeah, it'll detect like if there's lights on. Say on. You know, you have a Monday through Friday job, and all of a sudden it detects that, you know, there's lights on in the living room. It knows, it's like, oh, somebody must be home, so it'll turn the temperature up for you. You know, so it's crazy.
From the father of the iPod.
Yeah.
The lead designer of the iPod is the one behind this.
I thought there was three guys.
Just one guy, but maybe. Oh, yeah, the article says fathers, so that makes sense. Yeah. But
I think I'm fairly certain it was three guys.
I believe you.
From Apple.
I'm not calling you a liar.
That's okay. So, I don't know. Looks cool. Should check it out. Yeah, it's officially called... Yeah, if you Google Nest Learning Thermostat, you'll come up with
it. It looked kind of cool, too. It's kind of like a little, like, hockey puck-shaped digital.
Yep.
It looked cool. Is that what you said?
Yep.
It was an interesting little demo I saw. There's a video you can find if you Google it, like Randy said, to Google it. Or if you want to feel crazy.
I guess you could use Apple's search engine.
They don't have a search engine. That doesn't even make sense.
Man.
It's not a sick burn at all. He's out of control. If you're bored, though, and you want to Google other things, you could always Google how to do a barrel roll.
Ooh, you could. Except, I found, so this, before I left home for work today, I told, it was just me and one lady left, and I told her, it's like, oh, I found out this cool thing that you can do on Google, you should check it out. And it doesn't work on hers. It just does the search, and that's it.
Really?
And, but the, askew worked on hers. And then I also heard that if you type like two Z's or two X's, that also does something. Actually, that just reminds me. I was going to try that. Because apparently that does something as well. And tilt.
Tilt, yep. Tilt does, because I did that one in askew. What happens is, we'll just go do it. Open your web browser, go to Google, and hit how to do a barrel roll. And watch what happens. I don't know if they're just getting bored or if they just thought it'd be for fun.
I want to know who figured it out.
I don't know. It just started popping up on Twitter, like from like a bunch of different people today. That's what I saw happen.
So I don't know. Doing it on my laptop, how to do a barrel roll, does not do anything.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Weird.
And this is through Firefox. But tilt. Tilt does not do anything. And let me try the askew.
Oh, tilt worked on mine. And now we're Googling things.
Askew does, though, for me.
Askew.
How to do a barrel.
Just write do a barrel roll. Do a barrel. It does it when it gets to the R.
Oh, there it is. I think I might have told the lady at work how to.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem.
Shit.
You have to tell it what to do, see?
That's my bad.
What else did you say? Two Z's?
Two Z's apparently does something, and two R's, I think.
No, two Z's didn't do anything.
No, it just returns ZZ Top for me.
Yeah, someone was lying. Tilt.
Tilt?
Askew works.
Tilt, what does tilt look like to you?
It's the same as askew.
Oh, like the same?
Yeah.
Completely? Askew. Askew.
Yes, askew. Like view askew.
I like it. I like the askew. I think that one's hilarious. Because it's just nerdy. You know, it's like.
Yeah, I don't know who found it. I haven't seen any backstory. All of a sudden it just started happening today on Google.
Yeah.
So earlier today.
It'd be interesting.
Check it out if you're bored.
It'd be interesting if it's like.
Or if you're at work and you hate your
somebody
job.
Just like picked up on it, you know? Like it's. Because it could possibly be an Easter egg that's been in part of Google for.
I feel like it would have been like just the mass of people I saw talking about it. Like, because I saw both The Verge and TechCrunch posted today,
mm-hmm.
which makes me think that it just came about. You know.
Yep.
You get it.
I get it. I get it, sir.
Yeah. So that's that. In other news, there's been some mobile apps launching this week. Oink just launched this evening, which is an app, or earlier today, this afternoon, I guess. Oink. That from the Milk Ink crew, which is Kevin Rose and friends. Their little incubator of milk. So Oink is sort of like a rate items thing. It's only on iOS right now, so if you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch, you can go check that out. It's free.
Free. It's a plus.
Yeah, that was today, Thursday.
I know. I mean, we've talked about it before, but I know they rumored that it was supposed to be, you know, a paid app, but...
But it's free.
They made a good choice.
Well, it doesn't make any sense when you want something to be crowdsourced to charge for it. I mean, you're not going to get as many people in, and your data won't be as accurate if...
Yeah. I think at that point, if he was to charge, he would end up only getting... Kevin Rose fans.
Right. And I mean, and that's just going to cause an askew graph of data at that point. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out. I mean, I downloaded it and I started playing with it a little earlier. It's interesting. I don't know. We'll see how long it lasts and how much it eats my battery because it uses a lot of location stuff.
Makes sense.
And another app that was launched yesterday was a Gmail app, a native Gmail app for iOS, which a lot of people were excited about.
Us droid people already had it.
The droiders.
Yeah.
Can you really say droid people?
Yeah. Because only Motorola has that licensed.
Right, because they make the Droid phones. Correct. But Android is the operating system. I was wondering about that the other day.
Yeah, no, we can't call ourselves Droiders because that would infringe on the Lucasfilms copyright.
Really?
Yep. That's why, because if you watch a Motorola commercial when they talk about the Droid, you'll see copyright information at the bottom. That's awesome. Because they have
to. It makes sense, because they're droids.
They have to buy the rights to that.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Correct. They have to buy the rights to it.
But they are the droids you're looking for.
Ooh.
That'd be funny.
These are the droids we're looking for.
Anyways.
Contact me if you want to make a commercial, Motorola. Just saying.
Except for they could listen to our podcast and they'd be like, oh, thanks.
Sponsor us now. I just copyrighted this.
Oh.
This.
We'll only charge you like $10.
No, that's not true. It's going to be more than that. Motorola. And they're owned by Google now. They have money to give to us.
$10 and some Google swag.
Free Google for life. All the searches we want.
Anyways.
So the native Gmail app was released. So launching it, you automatically immediately get a fail notification. Basically saying that the notifications aren't set up properly. And this was met with much laughter, we'll say. They kind of became, as I saw in a story quoted, the laughing stock of the internet for a few hours, which I think is a bit extreme thing to say because the internet is a large world, and I think maybe of the tech world they were kind of the laughing stock, but and so they went on to actually pull the app like 2 hours later. Maybe it wasn't even that long. And the app wasn't,
it was really quick.
Yeah, it wasn't that long. I had it for a little bit and then it went away. I have it. Yeah. I'm not getting rid of it. I'm not even going to use it. So they pulled it because, people were saying it's buggy and it crashed and the notification right away. I think it was the biggest, thing that happened. So they, went on to pull it and they said, they apologized. They said, we screwed up, which I thought was just a weird way to put it. Like, just say, hey, you know, there's a couple bugs. We're working on it. Be patient. They said they pulled it down. They're going to relaunch it later, but we'll see.
They get it, though, at least.
I think they just didn't care that much. They just, people have been dying for an iOS app. And, I mean, the iOS app that they put out was essentially what the web version is, just in a little neat little package form. I don't know. The only big things were supposed to be the pull down to refresh and the push notifications, which the push notifications were what the error was on. So I don't know. It's interesting to see just in general. Like a lot of people are saying, like, why would they even give iOS a native Gmail app when that's a huge push to go to? I mean, Gmail is,
well,
probably the best email client. I mean, it has its faults for sure, but
it's
a top email client out there.
No, I think you can say without a doubt it's the best free email client that exists right now. Because, I mean, just because of, I mean, look what's included with that. Because, I mean, the one good thing that Google, I mean, this is not related to their app at all, really. But, I mean, the one good thing that Google has done with the way that they have structured their website is everything is accessible to you through one login. So when you log into your Gmail, you have your G+, Google Docs, Google
Calendar,
Google
Music.
Google Music, if you have it.
Which I do.
I do too. Again.
If you wanna, let me know. And actually, there was a problem before. In your YouTube, it could be your YouTube account.
That's right.
YouTube via Google. Your Blogger account. Your Picasa.
Okay, now you're just getting crazy right now.
No, those are real things.
I know. I get it.
That's like their picture stuff, and then Blogger's like their blog stuff. Hence the name Blogger.
I get it.
Blogspot.
Good one.
But they're supposedly killing Picasa, I thought. But
they're shutting it down, I heard.
Yeah.
It's because they're making waves. Because
it's in Google Plus.
They're making splashes. Splashes?
Well, no, they got rid of Pool Party.
No. No, it's something else. Did you not just see with the Google Plus with the...
You can plus one pitchers now?
Not just that.
API?
It's something called... I want to say it's called Google Splash or Google Ripple.
Are you making... I think no, you're making
Google
it
Google Ripple. Look it up. Ripple.
I think that Randall is currently making things up.
I'm drinking. Google Ripple. Ripples. Ripples. That's it.
Yeah, what is it?
It's something that it's supposed to help you track how your, like, something you share is impacting your...
Like clout.
The Colossus of Clout?
Clout? Do you know what clout is?
The Colossus.
Do you know
of
what clout is? That's
the
a real question.
The Colossus of Clout.
I don't know if it's Colossus, but do you know what clout is?
That's from Sandlot.
I'll take your word for it.
I don't know.
Clout, it's like it's like a thing that measures how much someone is, what's the word?
Awesome.
How much you impact the internet? That's not the right way to phrase
how
it.
How much clout you have on the internet.
Well, clout is like how much, not persuasion, but what's another word for persuasion? Influence. How much influence you have on the internet. Like, if you follow, like... The number of people that follow you is included. Like, you can see if you're just a follower or whatever. Get your clout score. Go sign up on clout. But anyway, there's been a lot of news.
Clout
recently revamped their whole scoring system. But you can see, like, the influence you have on the internet and the people around you and whatever. If people follow, if you're, like, a trendsetter, like let's say Kevin Rose, for example, would have a lot of clout. K-L-O-U-T.
Thank you.
If for those of you that aren't watching the live stream, he was raising his hand, so that's why I answered his question, although I knew what it was. But clout would be a similar version. Obviously, Google's. I didn't hear about that. That's interesting that they're taking on their own version
of
that.
They'd posted a thing on Google Plus about
it. Like basically rates you on how much you're followed, how much you're.
Nope. It doesn't rate you. It just shows you can see the actual physical path of. They call it a ripple.
That's actually a good name.
So they show, like, you know, like say Kevin Rose posted something and 1,000 different people share it. So now all of a sudden around his single ripple, there's 1,000 other ones, and it kind of goes.
Do you think we can make a drinking game on how many times we mention Kevin Rose in our podcast?
That'd be bad.
Well, not like, necessarily for us, but for our listeners. But today I feel like it's already been like 5 times.
It's funny because I know
Todd's gonna say something.
We could say a drinking game. How many times we mentioned Todd too? Because I know he said he gave me crap for how many times
for talking about him.
For how many times? No, how many times we mentioned Kevin?
Oh right, I remember you telling me. That's why I said, and I just know it's happened a lot. Google the office. Anyway, clout. Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about. Gmail. There's a Gmail app. You can find it. Well, you can't find it anymore because they pulled it down.
Okay,
it'll be back.
Supposedly. How long do you think it'll take for them to get it reapproved?
2 weeks.
Because I'm assuming they have to go through the approval process.
I don't think so.
They just have to go, hey, we're ready.
Yeah, I think once it's been approved, as long as they don't change it, maybe it goes through a briefer process since it's the same. It's like a different version of the app. Are you walking away from me right now?
No, I'm just. I have to get some water.
Randy has to stand up. Although he can't very well. No, I think it'll be a quick process. They took Google Voice off because there's a lot of crashes with the iOS 5 when everyone updated. So Google Voice was having issues, the Google Voice app, because... That's not water, that's Mountain Dew. Because the login was failing, so when you logged in, it would just like... It would never get past that, so they pulled it and they fixed it. It was back within a week. So I don't know if that's all they want to do is fix this, then that's what will happen. But if they want to go further with it, like if they're going to make it what it should have been to begin with, because a lot of people just weren't happy that it was essentially the web version in an app format.
They wanted something grand. Everything that I had read was they didn't put any time into designing something even semi-specific to what a web app. A phone / or an iOS app in general should be. You know, it was take the web version and go shrink, here you go.
Now you can put an icon on your screen. and you get push notifications.
But
and again, the people are arguing, you know, what if they just don't want to give it to their competitor, the greatness of it. And do you use Gmail on your, like, a Gmail app on your phone then? Or do you just have a mail app?
No, I have a mail app. So my phone is through Motorola, and they have their service, which is called Blur. And through Blur, you actually have to set, well, with an Android phone, you have to sign up with a Google account, because that's what ties your calendar and your contacts, so they sync.
Which makes sense.
And through Motorola.
Can you just go to contacts.google.com? What happens then? Do you have a contact book?
Yes, I do have one. Contact.google.
Oh, it did open right up. That's crazy.
Contacts?
No, it worked. It's a it's in beta. It says beta. That's great. Yeah. All contacts, 173.
Well, and it's like,
Are all these people? Oh, they're off from my Google Plus. That's why.
And it's funny. Like, what does it tell me about them? I mean, kind of talking about Google.
You learn something new every day.
So my phone is Android, as I've said multiple times. It crashed.
What kind of phone do you have?
It's a Motorola Click.
Oh, an Android.
Oh, it's a Droid. Android.
It's not a Droid.
It's an Android. But it was like my phone crashed a couple days ago, and one of the features that you can do is sync all of your contacts to your Google account, whatever you have registered to it.
Right.
Which I had done, because it's like, oh, just in case something happens, and it's like nobody else gets into my email anyways, so it's not like you're going to get my contacts. But my phone crashed. I lost all my contacts. I do a hard reset on my phone, and as soon as I tied my account back to my phone, it automatically downloaded all my contacts, and within 10 minutes I had, you know, 100 and some contacts put on. It's like, this is fantastic. I'm sure, I know Apple has something like that, I'm sure, but it was
awesome. You know what's funny though? People don't take advantage of such things like they should. I saw recently on Facebook, someone who I know has an iPhone posted, hey, I lost all my numbers because I lost my phone and had to get a new one, or something to that effect.
What?
How do you not back up your phone?
Does it just seem crazy to you that people who have this technology at their fingertips don't use it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's like...
Like, my phone, you're getting crazy. My phone is out of date. But I use it to its full potential. Oh, crap.
What?
I think we have a listener.
Oh, that's... I don't know why that's no crap, but anyway, so you could say that the Gmail app made some ripples this week.
Yeah, and not in a good way.
You see how I just used their own term against them?
Me and you both had talks about it already. But it's like, I understand how they don't care if they spend any time with the iOS version of the app.
But then you might as well not even put an app out.
Right. Because I completely agree. It's like, but if you're going to put one out, but I don't see them as intentionally putting out a bad product.
Right. And I agree with that, but it's like, you kind of want to, like, how do you, like, there's so many tests to make sure that things work. Like, how would you not load that on your phone and see that every time it launches, there's a...
But is it an iOS 5 issue only, or is it an iOS altogether issue?
Well, seeing as how they didn't release it until after iOS 5, it shouldn't matter. But...
Because, I mean, an
I'm
app,
sure it's
I
back
think...
compatible. No, it's just the base code, because it's right away, it's a notification error. So...
I don't know enough about how the app is coded or whatever to argue that one way or another. But I mean,
they didn't even take the time to test it. Like, didn't you launch it on even one phone and see a notification?
And it's like, and that's all the arguments I've seen on blog posts about it. Like, I mean, like the one that I'd sent you where the guy was just completely like, F you Google, how dare you basically write a crappy app.
And but that's getting a bit extreme, I agree. But still, it's like, really?
No, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, with having Android and how segmented our OSs really are.
Fragmented?
Or what did I say? Segmented. Both ways.
Right.
It's like, I know that an app out there might not work on my phone because my phone is old. And it's like these, like all of the Apple owners out there, even tech savvy people get this sort of, I don't know what I want to say, but it's like they have this sort of feeling in them that anything that they do with an Apple phone is, you know, any app that they download should be perfect and polished before they even download it. And it's like that, it to me, that seems crazy, because coming from the Android side, I mean, anybody can upload an app to the market, and I mean, you can have a polished turd, you know, and it's still crap in the end. Whereas Apple, all of the users get this sort of impression that anything that they download should be, you know, no matter what phone I have, no matter what OS I'm running, it's going to run perfect. And it's like, where do you guys get off downloading a free app from another company? And I'm not saying that this is right, because I completely agree that Google messed up.
Well, but, they said they messed up. I mean,
right. But it's like,
but they apologize. I mean, they went on Google Plus, they apologized, and actually I saw a lot of support, like, you know, that's all right, make it better and come back at it, you know. But just the lack of caring is what it really feels like.
But it goes both ways though.
Like, yeah, no, I agree. It goes both ways.
It's not like Apple has a time machine for my PC or an iCloud for my Android.
But then at that point, they're also not putting out crappy apps that do those things.
I think it's like the whole battery issue. I mean, a completely separate topic. It's like the battery issue with iOS 5 that they claim that they know. They're like, oh, we'll fix it in our next update in a couple months. But it's like nobody's complaining about it. They're just like, oh, Apple's just going, they're there, little fella. We'll take care of you. Don't you cry.
No, but I think, like, if they really wanted to put an app out, I think I understand reasons they wouldn't, but then they just should have not done it at all, as opposed to putting out something that was going to have crash issues or be buggy. Because regardless of what it's put out on, it makes them look bad as a company. And, I mean, they say that no press is bad press, but is that what they say?
No, they say
All
news is good news.
All press is good press. Wait. No press is bad press.
I'm not. Don't quote anything I say or take anything I say for. Just don't listen to me.
In other news,
thank you.
Apple has supposedly come out and said that there are bugs in iOS 5 that are causing battery issues. There's been a lot of complaints about the battery issues, not just in the 4S, but also in the 4s and other devices that have upgraded to iOS 5. Luckily, personally, I have not had any issues with that. Knock on wood. But, yeah. And they said the fix is coming out in a couple weeks. And I actually know that they have the beta of 5.1 out now, because I got an email today. And I saw that was out yesterday.
What are the changes expected with 5.1?
Just fixing the bugs, fixing a few little fixes. To improve the battery life and just to help with the notifications and stuff.
All press is good press.
Right. And then they were supposed to have launched the iTunes Match by the end of October, and here we are November 3rd with still no iTunes Match. Although I believe we would be getting closer, because there was an update to that as well via the beta, the developers' accounts, and it showed up on the Apple TV. So I would assume they're getting close. But it is going to be soon. I don't know. I figure it'll be probably 2 weeks before they put out 5.1 to everyone. But it'll be an interesting test of their over-the-air updates as well, to see how well all of the networks handle the over-the-air updates. Even though I think it's still recommended that... I wonder if it'll limit to only over Wi-Fi or not, but...
It would make... I mean... I don't know how big is an OS upgrade? Do you know?
A full upgrade, I think, would be a lot, but I think a little one isn't that much. Maybe.
Do you know how many, like, would you say it's a gig's worth of
upgrade? No, not at all.
A couple hundred megs only?
I think like 100 megs maybe.
Oh, so I mean, even over 3G, 100 megs isn't
Right. There is like downloading apps on iOS. You can't download more than 20 megs unless you're on Wi-Fi. There's a block. There's actually an app that tricks your 3G into thinking it's Wi-Fi, so you can work around that. But I think that's only on the jailbroken phones, though.
Freaking Apple.
That's not Apple. That's developers.
Apple's the one that limits that,
though. Well, right. But I mean, at the same time, it makes sense. Well, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Battlefield?
Yes. I would just like to say a few words about...
A few words?
A few words about the Battlefield 3. So, I would like to tell everybody, last week, I lied. I said I wasn't going to buy Battlefield. I was going to wait till I bought a new graphics card. But guess what? I bought Battlefield. I don't have a new graphics card. It sucks, because I'm running in crappy resolution with low/medium graphics, but I'm playing, and it's fan-freaking-tastic.
You heard it here first.
Seriously, no, you didn't. Like, I haven't played any campaign. I've played only online, and the graphics are insane, the gameplay is insane, the dogfights in a plane are insane, the helicopter control is out of this world, all of the gun customizations are crazy.
How crazy are they?
You can upgrade. I mean, this is how fine you can get to upgrading guns. You can upgrade a single bolt, like the bolt action on a sniper rifle. You can upgrade just that piece on a weapon. The only gripe I have with it, and this isn't the case on a Xbox or PlayStation, but with PC, so we have 64-player maps, which is awesome. The only gripe is the server browser. So most games, what you do is you load up the game in multiplayer mode, and you get the actual game that's installed on your hard drive pops up, and that's your basic thing. And then where the server browser is, it just queries from the internet. Well, with the PC version playing multiplayer for Battlefield, it actually opens up a server browser in your internet browser, which pisses me off to no belief, because every gamer I know, like, when you're playing a game, you want every ounce of resources just dedicated solely to the game you're playing. So, like, when I'm playing, like, my graphics card isn't up to date. I wouldn't say I'm low on RAM, but, like, I want all of my resources dedicated directly to the game, not to having a browser sitting open taking up, you know, 500 megs of RAM from my available memory. So but the graphics, from what I can see thus far, are insane. I'm hoping within a week I'll be ordering a new graphics card. Trying to think, the setting up a clan for, like, playing games with friends, if you have a clan on there, is really sweet, because they have a separate page built into their web UI for clans, so we have our own group built into the game. That's about it.
So Battlefield is out of 10 so far without a new graphics card.
Out of 10 thus far, I would give it a solid 8.5.
Eight and a half.
Like, yeah. and that's like, I would never. I would say it's very difficult for me to give anything a 10. So just to give people
Nothing's
a basis.
Perfect.
No, it would take a lot for it to be a 10. Eight and a half. I think they've done everything, almost everything that they've done has been correct.
Except for their non-loving PC-ness?
No, Battlefield is all about PC. Oh. This was the only game in the last, like, couple of years that's been developed for the PC, because the things that the PC has is, they support the 64-player maps and 60 frames per second graphics, whereas the PS3 and the Xbox is only up to 30 max frames per second. So this one was actually, like, all of the, if you ever watched any trailers or videos on Battlefield 3, all of the videos and trailers that you saw were directly ported from the PC version. So it's Modern Warfare 3 that all of the videos that you see are from Xbox. Everything is geared towards the console side and then ported to the PC.
Nice.
Yeah.
A few things we kind of overlooked when we went through our app releases this week. GarageBand came out for the iPod, if you care about that, or an iPhone. Kind of cool.
I made some comments on that.
Randy didn't think it was cool, I guess.
On our blog. Can you tell me what is exciting about having GarageBand on an iPhone?
You could be anywhere you want and record Garage. You could, like, if you're a musician, let's say. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. But you could hook up a guitar, like, straight to it and record anytime.
Okay.
And just play with the different, I don't know, maybe if you played around with it, you would find it interesting. I'm not saying it's like a phenomenal release. I don't use it that much. I've honestly considered using it on my iPad instead of on my computer for recording our podcast, because I've heard it's less buggy, right? It's less crashy, less likely to crash.
All right, can I give my rebuttal?
Yeah, that's fine.
My problem is I, both me and you, have a few friends who would consider themselves
musicians. Okay.
Some are good. Some belong in a band. Some are, what are you doing? Why? Stop. And it's like, I feel like this is only opening up floodgates for people to go, oh man, I've got an iPhone. I can have GarageBand. I can record myself. So all of a sudden, you're subjecting my eardrums to listening to 1,000 people's music.
Okay. Can I rebut that now?
Yeah.
Why would you ever listen to their stuff?
I don't know, because somebody sends me a link. I hang out in Turntable, and all of a sudden there's a Facebook link that comes up.
You don't
up.
Think if they really wanted to make it, they'd do it anyway? Like, I mean, there's audio recorders on both. I mean, I'm sure Android has an audio recorder.
Yeah. But I don't know anybody that would act it. Like, I feel like GarageBand.
You feel like it's endorsing something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and especially with the amount of people. Because, I mean, I know Android outnumbers, at least for the phone version, Android has come over the top of the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But with the amount of iOS out in the world, I feel like it just makes something that's supposed to be fairly difficult for people to do even easier. And I guess I can see it from both sides, where it's like, I mean, there's those diamonds in the rough, I guess. But I just feel like it opens the floodgates for more shitty music in the world.
I don't think it's necessarily, like, it doesn't make making music easier. It just is a recording. I mean, it's just a program. I'm not necessarily endorsing it by any means. Cause, I mean, I downloaded it just for kicks because I'd already bought it on my iPad. And it was free for me, so why not? But I was just, maybe some people are interested in it. But don't send links to your crappy music to Randy, I guess. He won't be happy.
It better be good if you send it to me, because, yeah. Anyways,
and another, I actually think it went live today, was Google Offers. Today showed up in the Google Market, I believe. Went live.
I honestly didn't hear that.
I think I saw it earlier, and I know Google Wallet, you had posted in our Daily Geek Report, you could get $10 free for signing up for it.
Correct.
So, I mean, both those things are huge apps released to Android that are going to make ripples.
And the Google
Wallet well.
Is only going to help you if you have NFC.
Right.
So,
but it's, I mean, ready. But if right now it's also only if you have Sprint and you live in New York, but, but it's something to look into. There is a Canon event actually happening right as we speak. So
the camera company Canon?
Canon, yes, the camera company.
Canon.
I know they're talking, I've seen a few little things blip out from it about a competitor to the Red Epic, if you follow that at all, if you follow the camera world, and then a new DSLR and whatever the other version is. We'll probably talk about that a little more either tomorrow in the Geek Report or next week on the podcast, because it's happening right now. There is a Nook event coming up on Monday, right on the 7th. The Kindle Fires, if you remember us talking about those are supposed to be released on the 15th, or they'll start shipping. It was a first-come, first-served basis. And so the people that got in right away should start actually receiving them on the 15th. But the Nook Color 2 is what's speculated to come out on the 7th, which would make sense to directly compete with the Kindle. So we'll see what that's all about. We'll definitely have a lot to talk about that.
Hopefully.
We have an insider tip coming tomorrow.
And I was, yeah, we'll it's talk off air about that.
But
I think we could offer him cash.
We'll see. Well, maybe we'll see what we can find out about that. And then, of course, if any of you, and I would only imagine that it's all of you, have ever played Grand Theft Auto.
I've played the shit out of some Grand Theft Auto.
The Grand Theft Auto 5 trailer went live on Rockstar's website yesterday.
Yesterday.
The 2nd.
Noon.
It's like a minute 15 or something, minute and a half.
I liked one of the Twitter comments that I saw. They were like, it's like they compared it tells to a you bunch nothing of Nintendo,
but everything at the same time.
Like they compared it all to Nintendo based games. They're like Paperboy. So it's like Paperboy, Wave Runner, Excitebike, and something else. You know, like it was
Kid Icarus. That doesn't even make sense.
I don't even get what you're saying, but
But yeah, so. That's that, I guess.
The stories. I'm not even there.
Oh, I just went back and looked up stuff that we had talked about during the week, and then I typed it on my iPad real quick.
All right, I gotcha.
And this is kind of rehashing what we talked about, but Oink came out today, right? And it's already the number 3 app in the travel section of iTunes, which is funny. I just wanted to point this out, because yesterday Randy and I were having a conversation. Like, I didn't know how soon it was going to come out. I didn't expect it to come out today already. But we knew it was submitted to the App Store, and, I mean, the process is, I've heard both very short and very long, depending on who looks at it. I don't know. Apple has their process. Who knows what it is? Sometimes they get a little crazy. Randy will contest to that constantly. But
all day, every day.
But we were just talking about the idea of Oink in general, which, again, if you don't know what it is, I mean, you can get a hold of us. I guess we'll further explain it. But it's basically rating things.
Email us.
In buildings. fans@bleedgeek.com. Emailing, what? Rating things in like going to, this is going to be a very, I'll just give you a very generic example that really wouldn't probably happen, but let's say you go to McDonald's, you can rate the Big Mac. I would love Big Mac, because I love Big Macs.
You want to know what I would love?
A 10-piece nugget and a plain double cheeseburger.
Shit, yeah, I bet you that would taste fantastic.
Maybe you should text your wife and have her pick up McDonald's on her way home for us.
I have dinner in the fridge.
Anyway, so it's the kind of like, there's like 4 sections. I think it's you love something, you like it's like a heart, a thumbs up, a indifferent, and a thumbs down. And you can just, you know, it's like rating things. And then eventually, like, the point is like to... If you travel, which is funny because I said, you know, it seems to me to be aimed more at travelers, which is funny that they put it in the traveling section because I've never heard them say that, but because it's their end game is like similar to, let's say you live in LA, but you fly to New York and you eat a lot of Big Macs and they're like, oh, the best Big Macs in the world
Big
are
Mac.
two blocks from you. Maybe you want to check it out. The highest rated. I know that doesn't make sense, but it's an example. Apples to oranges.
That, anyways.
But that's all I have to say about that. Do you have anything you'd like to say about that?
Oink, oink.
And already there's been 70,000 oink app sessions so far today, ranked number 3.
No. I mean, I guess I've talked to you personally about it. But I feel like, I mean, I understand, it's, I think the initial impact will be big because of the following for Kevin Rose.
Right.
But I find it hard to believe that this is an app that will make a significant impact on the way people use web apps or dine in/out. You know? Like, I don't see myself personally using an app to report on how good something is at a restaurant. I think checking into a restaurant, like, I think this would be something better if it was incorporated with something like Foursquare, where you're checking in and you're saying you're eating something like that. Like, something where it's a multi-purpose sort of
function. It's kind of, I'm kind of interested to see how it all turns out. We'll keep you up to date, I guess.
Mike will, because it's not available for Android. Maybe Pat will.
Good one. I was just checking something real quick, and I guess there's already a leak of what the Barnes & Noble Nook tablet will be like. And it's supposedly going to be $249. It looks like it's going to be slightly thinner and lighter than the Nook Color. And 1.2 gigahertz dual core processor with a gig of RAM. That's speculation as of right now, but that's what they kind of think is coming.
Mike, you hold this podcast together tonight.
And we appreciate all the listeners we have.
My words, Key.
Let's see. I think that pretty much covers everything that happened in the tech news for the most part. I mean, Randy had said, it was a quiet week. I mean, nothing major. We'll obviously have all the details on the Nook Color, the new one, next week.
You son of a bitch.
And we'll also talk about maybe some things that Canon came out, although I think those are a little more of a niche-based product, photographers being that niche, of course, as Randy's shaking his head at me. But I think that's all we got for this week. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Randy?
Go Google.
All right. So there you have it.
Give me 5 seconds. Give me a countdown. Go.
Do you just want me to talk for 5 seconds? Because I could probably talk for a while. I've been doing that already. So you can always follow us on Twitter at BleedGeek, Facebook.com/BleedGeek. Email us at fans@BleedGeek.com. You could leave us a voicemail if you'd like to call us, 406-79-GEEKS, or 406-794-3357. I don't have anything else. Follow us individually, but that's getting a little ahead of ourselves. Check out the site regularly. We've been daily updates, so even just little tidbits. And if you haven't already, go like us on Facebook, because we're at 50-something.
Right, 50-something. That's like high-fivable.
Woo! Woo! That was a high-five. Did you... I talked for more than 5 seconds. Did you come up with whatever you wanted to say?
No, I got nothing.
All right.
Oh, I do actually have something. Monday.
This coming Monday?
Yep, November 6th. 7th. 7th, I believe it is.
7th.
Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3.
Does it technically come out on Tuesday? Or are you talking about Monday night at midnight?
Midnight.
So Tuesday. Technically Tuesday. I will be in line at 11:30. Assuming the concert gets out early, I will be in line 11:30 p.m.
Where are you going to go?
Best Buy, Roseville.
I should meet you there.
Are you getting it?
No, but maybe we'd live stream or hang out or something. Oh. What am I doing? I'm up at 11:30.
Makes sense. Come hang out. I'll be there. Moses will be there.
Maybe we'll live stream or something.
We'll live stream.
Not on Stick'Em. Then we'd have to go back to either Justin TV or
something. We'll post a link if we go live.
Yeah. It'll be for kicks. From my phone, probably.
For kicks. And Moses will be live.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you'll come with. Because he'll be like, what else am I doing at midnight? Yeah.
Like, our first live event. Not, I mean, we're live every episode, I guess, but
it's true.
It's not, then, that's not an event.
And
that's a
I'll
show.
Wait in line and be like, hey, Mike, interview this guy in front of me. Be like, hey, where's your girlfriend? And he'd be like, oh, I don't have a girlfriend.
That'd actually be a fun game. We could get Moses to interview people and I'll record it. That seems like a good idea. So check it out. Yeah. Follow. Make sure you check back on Monday for a link. And if you're up at midnight, otherwise we can record it, hopefully. And we'll put up a little video montage of our night. If it's not live, we'll have something. We'll video something.
It's true. It's true. But I'll be there. I'll be there for sure. So So
yeah, so look for something about that sometime soon. And in 2 weeks, we will hit 6 months, and we're hoping to do something.
We're going
to
drink.
Well, we're doing that now, let's be honest. Some more than others. So check back, and I told you the email. Let us know anything.
Fans@bleedgeek.com.
Anything you have to say, good or bad, happy or sad.
Be like, hey, Mike Earl, thanks for holding the show together.
Just
Randy, learn how to hold your liquor better.
I mean, whatever you want to say.
Send us
an email.
Just say, hey, someone. Guys.
And hey, we guys. Also have a newsletter you can sign up for, and I'm actually just going to start signing up people whose emails I know pretty soon, so start signing up yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to get it anyway.
That includes you, April. We're signing your email up.
That's a true story.
Yeah. I've got it.
And the Joomla MacGyver.
I don't have his email.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We'll hacksir him.
Hacks.
All right, so that's going to end.
Wait,
our... What?
Follow us on Twitter.
I said that already. @BleedGeek.
No.
Individually.
Individually.
Good one.
Oh, shit. Who's the drunk one now? Randy, you are.
My bad.
So, if you want to follow Randy.
@Crandall 111.
And I am @Mike037.
And you can follow Pat at Hammock Time with a Y instead of an I.
And as always, we appreciate you listening and joining us for the live stream. And with that, that will be our show. I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Patrick McGivern. And I'm Randy Harvis.
And, yeah, that's that.